And I think we sort of began Siman Rishon and Aleph last time we met. Not the Rishon and Aleph is that somebody who, well, actually, it's all based on the following premise. The premise is that the mitzvah of tzedakah, and really the mitzvah of all these chesed, the Gemara uses the term of achecha. So everything that is going to be revolving around these areas is only going to be somebody who's considered achecha. And the Gemara has a rule that if a person is a person can out himself from being a chacha. A person can't out himself from being a Jew. He can't just say, I'm out, I'm turning in my Jew card. But a person could, and sort of as a way of communal pressure, we would enforce it, not gain from the benefits of being Jewish, which might mean gaining, I think we actually learned a little bit in Hilchos Rivus about not, that there might, there is even that havamina, that they might lose their ability to gain interest-free loans, that maybe the Isser of Ribbis falls away. I don't think we don't pass in that way, but that is out there as a possibility. It would be with this. It would be inviting them for Yontif meals. That was last year's Model Basin thing with regards to Dr. Weiss's issue of the Chalitza story. If people heard that, if you remember that year. So this shows up from time to time about somebody who is lav not. So that the person loses their privileges of being Jewish. So in Siman, I guess let's go to the tour. Let's start on the tour. So in Siman Rishon and Aleph, Sif Aleph, it says, "Kol haposhet yadav litol nosten lo afilu gai shemefarsim aniyei goyim im aniyei Yisrael mishum darkei shalom." So anybody who puts out their hand, you should give them, even if they're not Jewish, because we would support non-Jews with Jews, however, only because of darkei shalom. But then we have in Beis Kasef HaRavei Elazar, which is the Sefer Yireim, that ani ha'over al achas mikol mitzvos ein v'chal v'chayach yichimach. That once a poor person violates one of any of the mitzvos, they are no longer included in v'chayach echad. Does that mean any mitzvah? They're out? He says, no. Ve'in chayv and litin lo tzedakah. And that means ve'in chayv litin lo tzedakah asher yedu sheshav b'tshuva. Tali d'shuva. V'chenim hu mishumad afilu teyavon. And so too, if they're a mishumad at all, I mean, they're known to violate a specific prohibition, even if it is l'teyavon, even if, of course, they desire it, as opposed to l'hachas. So those distinctions are spelled out in the Beis Yos. Oh, just before we get into the Beis Yos, there's two terms. A mumar is somebody who, or mshumad, in this case, using that term, of somebody who violates halachas regularly, but that gets divided into two parts. There's a mumar we call a mumar l'hachas, and a mumar l'teyavon. A mumar l'hachas means that a mumar l'teyavon is the easier one. That's because a person appreciates a person really likes cheeseburgers, so therefore they go and eat cheeseburgers, not because they necessarily have anything against God, but just because they have something very much for cheeseburgers. So therefore they and they can't give that up. And the same thing could be with a lot of issues. A person who says I absolutely positively have to watch college football. So the only problem is that college football is on Shabbos. Yeah, but I love college football. It's something that I absolutely can't give up, and I'm going to watch it anyways. I can't hold back. So that person, then we would call them a mumar l'teyavon. They are violating the Torah, but because they have a desire to do so. So that's not as bad as one who is a mumar l'hachas. A mumar l'hachas is somebody who is violating the Torah, sort of to get back at Hashem. L'hachas is to cause anger. I mean, a person is says, I'm getting back at Akash Baruch, whatever that means, and therefore I'm violating this halacha. That person would be considered a mumar l'hachas. At least that's the way that the Gemara spells it out. So which one is worse? So obviously mumar l'hachas is worse, right? Somebody who's doing something just to anger God, as opposed to because they have desires to do that. But if you recall what the Torah actually said, and we're quoting from this Yireim, that even a mumar l'teyavon, that even somebody who is violating the Torah l'teyavon, even they already are not entitled to tzedakah. However, there is a distinction that is then made over the course of the that the Beis Yosef points out. So in the Beis Yosef in Sif Aleph, it says, the Lashon Smag, Omer Rav Elazar Mitz, the name of the Yireim, Shim Haya, Beis Yosef, well, the Aleph Beis, where it says Aleph.
Sorry.
Beis Yosef, it says Aleph, and then there's a Beis in parentheses, and then there's a Beis. Right?
Okay,
that's because it's Sif Aleph and Beis are overlapping. Yeah. So, is that a common error? So zel lashon hasmag omer Ravi Elazar mitz shimahaya avarian b'mezid ba'achas mikol mitzvos amuras b'torah, that if he was a violator on purpose in any of the mitzvos that mentioned in the Torah, v'lo he doesn't do tshuva, When it's not obligated to sustain them, nor to lend them money. It says you allow your brother to live with you. That's the qualification. The qualification is achecha. That once he violates something b'mezid, he has left this brotherhood until he gets malchus. Period. Okay, so we got that. That somebody is that as soon as he violates one halacha, b'mezid, so he's out of the club until he does tshuva. So he has to do tshuva for it. So he's not out forever. He can do tshuva and overcome it. Right? Fine. Then he says umashemashem perakasholeach. Now there is an interesting gemara in perakasholeach. We covered this in the one of the Shabbos personalities of the Talmud shir. Sort of. We covered the next gemara. This is the setup for the Reish Lakish Gemara. So Rabbi Ami haya rotza liftos mishumad, that Rabbi Ami wanted to be poda a mishumad, ochel nevelos of tiyavon, lifnim mishuras adin haya oza. That Rabbi Ami, who wanted to be poda this mishumad, who was an ochel nevelos of tiyavon, who used to eat, go to McDonald's and have hamburgers, not cheeseburgers, but hamburgers, he would have nevelos, lifnim mishuras adin, so it says Rabbi Ami wanted to do that, says, yeah, he was going lefini mishuras adin. Now, I meant to bring the Gemara with me. This Gemara in Maseches Gittin, it's talking about this guy who was taken captive by a bunch of, by I think the Anshei Lod, which were the Lydians, and he was held captive by these people. And the concern was that these people were also cannibals. Now, this is the same people that the next story in the Gemara is that Reish Lakish wasn't happy about, so he infiltrated them, right? And then he convinced them, and he tricked them all into killing them all, and then Reish Lakish ran away, and then he runs to Rabbi Yochanan and converts, etc. Well, although they're not necessarily historically right at the same time, but Rabbi Yochanan took care of, Reish Lakish took care of these people in the very next Gemara. So talking about the same people. So these people, the Gemara seems to understand them as being cannibals, and they capture this dude. This dude is an Ochel Nevelos, and which means he realizes that he's mincemeat. They'll make mincemeat out of him. They're going to do something. I'm waiting for a better pun, Bob. I could do something. Okay. So he reaches out to Rav Ami and asks Rav Ami, "Can you help me out?" So Rav Ami is ready to pay the ransom, and the other chachamim come and say to him, "What are you doing paying the ransom for this guy? Don't you know that he's a mishumud?" To which Rabbi Ami says, yeah, but he's only a mishumud l'teyavon. He eats hamburgers at McDonald's, but he likes hamburgers from McDonald's, not because he wants to get back at God. And then they respond by saying, no, it's not true. He is imumr l'hachis, right? Even when he has a choice of hato of hamburgers from McDonald's and hamburgers from House of Kosher, and they would be the same price, he would still violate, he still prefers the McDonald's hamburgers over the House of Kosher, King's, House of Kosher is northeast, so we should promote our more local places. Star of David, right. He would prefer the McDonald's hamburger over the Star of David hamburger, so therefore he's considered a mumer lahachas. So the Gemara says, Rav Ami says, the story ends. Which the implication is that the Chum had the last word. That Rav Ami says, "Oh well, I didn't realize. I'm not going to support him." In which case, the guy then became a McDonald's hamburger, right? He then went on, and it sounds like that was his ending. So the Gemara, this is one of these stories, and it's always a little difficult darshan, paskening halacha off of these narratives. What's the implication? The implication is that Rav Ami was going to save him when he was only a mumer l'teyavon. But once he found out he was a mumer l'hachis, he didn't, right? He didn't. So the Yireim understands it as being that, yes, it's true he was going to, that he's not allowed to save him when he's a mumer l'hachis. That he sounds like you're not supposed to do. And then he's a mumer l'teyavon, so then he would be allowed to do. Or as the Yireim says, that would have been l'fnim mishuras adin. That would have been midas chasidus above and beyond the law. Now I'm curious using that terminology of l'fnim mishuras adin here, because which way I don't have an answer to this. I'm just throwing out the question: which way is the chumra and which way is the kula? Right. The whole purpose of the purpose of this is sort of to instill this. Well, the truth is maybe it's not, because the dindo raisa is that you have to protect your brothers, and maybe he's outside the realm of brothers. So therefore, if you're going to go ahead and save him anyways, So that's lifnei mishuras hadin. I guess that's the way that you would phrase it. I mean, there's no chiyuv to do it, but yet he's going to do it anyways. One could think about it as, no, that's a communal, well, it's a communal in sanction against him. So if it's a communal sanction against him, so then what right do we have to say we're going to pull away the sanction? Right, we're gonna let him go anyways. I mean, the whole point we want to pressure people into keeping mitzvos, but as they realize that if we don't keep mitzvos, then we get captured by a bunch of cannibals. No one's gonna come and save us. So we better stay in good graces with the community. So if you say yeah, but you can always find Ravami. Ravami will save you anyways. So that perhaps undermines the power of the sanctions, right? Unless you just say that no, the whole thing is really operating on a level of Doraisa, that there's no chiyuv to do so, but if you want to go ahead and do so, so then that's fine. But if he's a mumer lahachas, so then it sounds like there's some kind of takana against doing so. So that's the distinction that he makes, and basically sort of continues with that distinction. Okay, so let's go to the Shulchan Aruch itself.
I have a question. As we said, this is in the beginning, if he violates one mitzvah, he's not the klal.
Right.
And at the end, he says, "And if he is tumor, afilu teyamon, the thing, also that." But that's the same thing. If you tumor the teyamon, violating a mitzvah.
Yes, I think that that's what he's.
Well,
in the beginning, it says. Well, I mean, why does the tour write it in that way?
Unless you think that the airman's not violating a mitzvah, but I don't think people would say that. If I like money, so I steal, I think it's still violating a mitzvah.
So I think the tour is there's some ambiguity in the tour's quote. It's the same quote, meaning the Beis Yosef is quoting the Yireim more in full.
Right.
So
my question is on the tour.
Right. So the tour sounds like he's quoting sections of the Yireim, and the Beis Yosef puts it in. So right. I'm not sure. I don't know the methodology of that. I don't know how when the tour only quotes parts, are you supposed to be I don't know how that works. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself.
Actually, I think the pre-show looks like he says something about it, but I didn't get a chance to read it. Okay.
So Mishu Avaryan Bemezid, Alachas Mikol Mitzvos Amuris B'Torah. So if one is Avaryan Bemezid on any of the mitzvos, so below Asachuva, Eino Chayv Lachios Avalavos. So that's the baseline. Right? The baseline is that if they are violators Bemezid of any of the mitzvos that are mentioned in the Torah, so we have no obligation. So this is speaking to us. Right, in terms of who, right, the title of this chapter is Lumi Nosen Hatzdaka. To who do you give tzedaka? Well, if a guy is in violation of the mitzvos, you are not mechuyev to give him tzedaka. He's not included in the mitzvah. He's not included in the pool of people you would give money to. Then he adds in, or the Rama, I guess the Rama adds in, Umafarnesim Aniyeh Ovdei Kochavim Im Aniyeh Yisrael Mifnei Darkei Shalom. Now, you would support non-Jews with Aniyeh Yisrael because of Darkei Shalom. And would you throw in these Mumar L'Teavons with them as well? I'm not sure. I would assume you would. This might be contingent on the previous question of do we consider it a knas or do we consider it a ptur with regards to supporting these these people that are violating mitzvahs. If it's a ptur, so if you have to support non-Jews because of Darkei Shalom, presumably you should also support Jews because of Darkei Shalom. They're just out of the picture. If you assume that it's some kind of knas, so then non-Jews aren't liable to that knas. So yeah, go and support non-Jews for Darkei Shalom and not Jews. I don't know how we come down on that. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishu avaryon lahachis, I feel l'mitzvah achas. So one who is an avaryon lahachis, even with one mitzvos, k'gon sh'olchon nevelos, hecha deshchiach basar k'shera, where it's actually available, Aser liftosim nishma. So then it is prohibited. It's prohibited to support, and not only to not only to give them money, but even, and this is the example of the Gemara, to do pidyon shvuyin, to redeem them as captives, that would be prohibited, which is considered a higher level. There is this distinction that is out there of not giving tzedakah, but being willing to sort of redeem these types of captives, which is what the Piskei Teshuva talks about. We'll get to that in a second. So here it sounds like there you would not deal with them. Aval avaryon l'teyavon ein eser b'dar. There's no eser imrotzen l'fdosu if you want to. Aval ein l'chuyim l'kach. But you're not obligated to do so. Right? Is there still an injunction because of Darkei Shalom as there was in the previous paragraph? I would assume so, but I don't think I have a proof to that. So in the Piskei Teshuva here, quotes. It's one of these somewhat colorful cases that the Piskei Teshuva brings in. It says, "Ayin Taz de Kan Mayri b'Mumar l'Teyavon Harbi Pamim." So if you look at the Taz, and actually didn't look at the Taz, but if you look at the Taz, so the Taz says that this is talking about a Mumar l'Teyavon, even if it's many times, even if it's a guy who regularly goes and eats hamburger, cheeseburgers at McDonald's, so that he's considered a Mumar l'Teyavon, and therefore he's subject to this ruling of that you don't have to help him, but you could help him. Umashma dahacha afilu bimivakshim lahargo, even if they'd want to kill him. It sounds like it would be the same din. I mean, if we're going to just talk about Rav Ami in that story of saying, no, I'm allowed to go and help this guy. I'm allowed to, not that I'm obligated to, but I'm allowed to. So then that's the halacha, even if his life is on the line, etc. Fine. It says, v'chem uver b'tshuvas maram lublin. Period. It says v'tamil li al tshuvas chavus yair. So therefore, I have this kasha on the chavus yair. Simon kuf lametes shekasev b'davar yehudi ganav mefursam shenispas v'yisruhu yoser midai. That you have a known ganav, a Jewish known ganav, right? A gangster, right? What's the guy who wouldn't kill on Yom Kippur? There's one of these.
Yeah. He was part of Murder Incorporated.
There's a name.
I'm not sure.
I forgot that.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't him. I talked about him once at called Nidre Drasha. I spoke about it.
I read a whole book on the Jewish mafia, but I'm not sure that.
Right. There wasn't only one guy. I think there were multiple.
It was Murder Incorporated. They were not part of the mafia. They were assassinated just for hire.
Right. But I think it was more. It wasn't just this one guy who was still Shomer Shabbos. It was like a few people who. Yeah, so that's what he's talking about. So you have a ganav mefursam shenispas v'yisruhu yoser midai. Now they're going to torture him. So yoser midai is more than necessary. So I don't think this is applicable to modern day issues of Jews being incarcerated. But there they were going to torture him. So devadai tzrichim lehishtadil b'hotzal sulatzilo, that certainly one should go and do whatever they can in order to save this guy. Ve'ein lomar, don't say hol shadarka b'kach havei mumar l'davar echad, and don't say, well, since he's a robber, he's a ganav for a living. There's a mumar. The mavakach, halo havi mumar lahachis. He's not doing it lahachis. He's doing it to put food on the table for his kid. For kids. Umashik sas omrim me'achar shehu ganav and force, because he's a known ganav, havale mesakin rabin, that he's actually a public danger to people. Sure, shayim lamasu bidei ovdi kachavin, that maybe it does make sense to give him over to the non-Jews. So Zain Zabar, it's not so clear. Lomar shevazem mesakin rabin, that he's really putting people in danger. Kim yispas hu bavono yamus, such that if they would capture him for his crimes, he should die. Ve'af ki yesh chil Hashem b'asher k'tzas mirushayim al Klal Yisrael. And even though it might be a bit of a chil Hashem b'asher k'tzas, that they're going to yell at marshim, right? That they're yelling that the Jews are all a bunch of ganavim b'shvil kach. That's what they're saying. That's what the common people are saying, but not that's what the rabble are saying. But those people who know, they know. That there might be some cases where there might be reasons to give it up, as many people will be in danger, but not this. This guy doesn't fit into that category. So that's this chavos yar. The chavos yar.
So you're not supposed to save him.
No, he says you should save this guy.
They're
going to
torture him.
So he doesn't. That's the case. Save this guy, and don't say, oh, because he's this mumar, we should not. And don't say, because he's a chil Hashem, we should not. Because it's not really a chil, like, which is an interesting question. What the chil Hashem that you're told about when you're in third grade and go on your class trips of, you know, make sure you make do a kiddush Hashem and a chil Hashem. That's what they're talking about here, right? So is that a real thing, such as the point that we would, I mean, the halachic terms of kiddush and chil Hashem have to do with yihor val yavor, like putting a gun to your head, and that's the halachic terms of kiddush, and that's not how he's using it here.
So it would be a chil Hashem that a Jew should be subjected to that kind of...
No, I think he's saying it's a chil Hashem. The guy is a chil Hashem, that he's a known ganav, that's a chil Hashem. He says, yeah, but let's get real. You know, like, every Jew who cheats on his taxes is a chil Hashem, such that we should let them be tortured. So he seems to be, so the Chavos Yair seems to be against this. Now, he the Piskei Tshuva then steps in and says, V'lo zachar klal divrei Beis Yosef arma. It's odd that he doesn't mention at all our halacha in the Shulchan Aruch here, right? That even if he's a mumur l'tiyavon, we're not chayiv to be poda him. Right? Why did he doesn't that does for some reason that doesn't enter the equation? He seems to say that you're doing it. The reason you wouldn't, the Chavos Yair is saying, why wouldn't you say him? Well, because he's a chil Hashem or because he deserves it. He says, well, yeah, those aren't good enough reasons. But what about the fact that you're not chayef to get him back because you're not chayef to get him back, right? Why don't we just quote the halacha here and say that he's out? I don't know if you have it spelled out. Chufnun, Chafnun Yud, Simin Lamed Ches. I don't know. Just says Chafnun Yud. Okay. Bish Echad Sheyashe B'Chatzer Hamatara Karov L'Sakanas Nefasha. So he's also sitting in a chatzer. It's also dangerous for Ishahu. Hayim Afursim Derachav Lo Tovim Noyif V'Ganav. That and everybody knew that he was a noif, a known adulterer and a robber. Beherichim tzrichim l'tosu yosem yichtei damav. Then they have a question about whether you have to be pod them for more than his value, as it says in his name. V'lo nasa al sfasav klal lomar she'in tzarech l'tosu. And doesn't enter the lips this halacha. V'yichtei damav machla shedrachav lo tovim. So he says, so Piskei Tshuva is like, I don't know, he seems to be like bewildered by this. Like, why isn't this halacha quoted in these major cases? He says, by the way, I'm super easy b'sefer b'chor shor b'chidusha v'simen gittin sh'teim al b'es Yosef v'achronim sh'lohi v'yu divri ha-tosos avodas kacham. Yeah, but maybe the reason is because they're basing themselves off of this tosos in avodah zarah, and therefore I have a kasha on the b'es Yosef why he doesn't quote this tosos in avodah zarah. The mash b'sham that afilu avid kama pamim l'tiyavon afilu ahachi m'chuyavon l'ftoso. That even that this tosos implies that even if he violates something many times with the avon, still you repod them behela diladina yesh lahachmir afilu baragil shelo lamod al damo lachayosu bepishdan divrei atosos bevos lechavim anal right lekshat divrei rama hamuv leel the ochel neveils the avon mitzvah alotziu v'asher lamod al damov dein lidchus. Okay, so therefore he says we're probably relying on that tosos in avodah zarah, and rather than being a question on the Chavos Yair as to why he doesn't invoke this Shulchan Aruch, it's really a kasha on the Shulchan Aruch why he doesn't invoke that tosos in avodah zarah. It seems that it is still a mitzvah to help these people with tiyavon. You have the Gemara in Maseches Gittin that seems to be that Rav Ami was acting with nimishur sadin. So the truth is, you look in that Gemara, there's no proof that Rav Ami was acting with nimishur sadin. He wants to give money to help protect this guy. The Chacham HaSein says, what are you doing? He says, no, he's a mumr l'tiyavon. They say, no, he's not a mumr l'tiyavon, he's a mumr l'hachas. So Rav Ami holds his hand back, right? So, that's a big bug again. Sorry, it's down on the floor over there. Right? I'm not sure how you could tell from that Gemara that there's no chiyuv to help a guy who's lifnim, who's a mumr l'tiyavon. I'm not sure, and that seems to bear itself out in these Piskei Tshuvos.
It seems like it's only because he was a mumr l'hachas that they didn't help him.
Right. Yeah. Right. There's no proof the other way.
I don't understand this concept that a guy mumr l'tiyavon only does it once. I mean, if someone's really mumr l'tiyavon, almost by definition, they're going to do it more than once.
No, I don't know. You can only afford it once.
No, you haven't paid up on for it. If you
only do it once. No, I don't know. If a guy is a huge football fan and the Super Bowl happens to fall out on Shabbos that year,
right.
Or football, the Super Bowl happens to fall out on Pesach, right? So, and then he's given tickets.
It's a late Super Bowl.
It's an early Pesach and a late Super Bowl, and it snowed a few times. So it's going to be, right? So he does it once, right? He's given tickets, he violates once. So why do you say it has to be that he would do it multiple times?
Okay. It just seems to me that most of the time, when we're together, it's going to imply a repeat offense.
So
that's almost the concept. Of it.
Yes, I don't hear that.
Okay.
I mean, you could hear an adulterer would be a one-time offense. You could hear that happening. Of course, I think the issue with the one-timer guys is that he almost immediately does tshuva. Right? That the reason he's only doing it one time is because of the tshuva aspect to it. I don't know. All right, so that is the lahachas of the oven we mentioned last time, and this is sort of just the general disclaimer when it comes to any of these halachos is that...
He kept saying there's no chiv. Right, there's no chiv.
Yes.
But he gets a mitzvah to do it.
Who?
The person who gives the tzedakah to these people.
Yes, so is that still a mitzvah of tzedakah?
Is it still a mitzvah of asking?
Yes, so that is the read probably is that yes. That seems to be that you are in fulfillment of tzedakah by doing so. It's an interest. I hear the question. Once you get it, of course it would, right? But yeah, once you get into it, why, if the mitzvah is to give tzedakah to Jews, so is there a mitzvah to give to tzedakah who don't necessarily earn it, right? So the Shulchan Aruch, when it says that, you should support over the chachamim because of Darkei Shalom. I don't know. The assumption is that, and you'll at least get some tzedakah credit too, right?
Right? That's what
you think. Right? Mavir would apply to that case also. You would think you're not just doing it because otherwise they're going to beat you up at some point.
Right.
Right? That's what I think so. But I didn't see a proof to that effect. Yeah. On this prison type of thing where they torture him, in my conversation with this my friend who is the nephew of the current Bunkacher Rebbe, who we've been going back and forth with recently, so I asked him what is the current the Zionist Bunkach thing, they're really like Satmar, they come from the same place as Satmar in many ways. So he said that's not really that's not an issue anymore, that's not what people are talking about, etc. He said, just on that note, he said interesting when these Nekturi Karkas were holding a Palestinian flag with some Palestinian rally like that, apparently the Rebbe said that we shouldn't be doing that. That's not a good idea, and so you see that he's the moderated somebody. So of course, some of the windows of the Beis Medrash were smashed the next day. But so I said, okay, so what is the Rebbe involved with? What does he do? So he said one of the things he's involved with is helping long incarcerated Jews, people who are put in prison for a while. So he's involved in prison reform and things like that. So if anybody is in prison for a long time and is Orthodox, that case will often be brought to the Munkacher Rebbe to try to help out. Just okay, that's a good thing to know.
You ever get in jail? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, So on to Sif Gimel. So Sif Gimel then switches into a significant topic, and its applicability today, how it works, is also an interesting. It's one of these cases that how to apply it to a modern day framework is a good shaila. But let's just at least get down the basics for now, and that is who gets first dibs on your tzedakah, who gets access to it first. So in the let's go to the tour here. So the tour says Hanosin Levanov in Gimel. So Hanosin Levanov Ulevnosav Hagdolim She'enu Chayvim in Zonoseihem Pelumod Hazacharim Tor. So one who gives to their own children who are older, She'enu Chayvim Zonoseihem, that you're not obligated in their mizonos. So you're not really obligated to give them money for their own support anymore, but you're giving them money so that they could go and learn. So that the boys could learn Torah. And that the girls can...
Get married.
I was going to become occupational therapists, but yeah, the same type of thing. Right? So that they're put into situations where they'll be able to do well. Similarly, if one gives gifts to a father and a mother to support one's parents, they need them. That's included in tzedakah. Not only that, but they go first. They get first dibs before the parents do. Now, this question of you give to your children who you are not obligated to support anymore. four. So what age do you think that that is?
Six.
Bob read the answer key already. But yeah, that's...
No, it's an old...
Right. So the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos, it speaks about a man is obligated to take care of his children until the age of six. And then they're on their own. Then they can...
Let's just
read it inside. So it says...
Because even in Israel, you have obligations until at least 18.
So
what about the bracha that they say, at the bar mitzvah?
Well, that has to do with punishment. I'm not going to be punished for his sins anymore.
Bring punishment for the sins,
Then, yeah, but let him.
I thought Ari Reuben says
let him go earn a living.
Tarani.
So where is this coming from? So the Beis Yosef here quotes it. Kolomar Shehem Yoser al ben Sheishanim. They're more than 6 years old. The Ilu Pachusim ben Sheishanim. Less than six. Chayiv he ben Mizonos same. So then they're chayiv in the Mizonos. Kedis v'sof Perek Afalpi, as we learn at the very end of Perek Afalpi in the Sechus Ksuvus. V'yom Perek Narish Nispatzta Osit Tzaka v'chol Eis Zehazan Banu v'nosof Haktan. Now one who does a lot of tzaka means that they're supporting their sons and daughters who are young. Kolomri Shehem Yaseir Mal Sheish, meaning they're older than six, right? She'enu Chayv Mizonos Same, you're not obligated to support them. B'chshu Zanim Tzedaka Techshav Lo, and then if you do support them, so then you're Yotzei Tzedaka. So that's like a really good thing if you are worried about taking off Meiser Tzedaka and you happen to have like young children at home and are paying day school tuition. Like, oh, well, I'm not obligated. I guess three of my kids are already should be off my ledger already, right? But what?
You can only commit to school.
Yeah. So Bill Shua. Yeah. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which actually we covered really in the very beginning when we started learning Hilchos Tzedakah, that Rav Moshe says the whole thing doesn't apply. Vizman has that. He says that this is a sociological halacha, and if society would deem you responsible to take care of that child, so then you are responsible to take care of that child, and it does not count as tzedakah money. So sorry. Now,
easy
kids
come,
in their 20s,
come.
Though. What?
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, so that's not going to help very much. But the then he continues on. To go to the bottom here. You guys have the chumash for a second? Then where they talk about the order of the... Okay, so who does get first dibs? How does that work? So in the Beis Yosef here, it says, Tanya b'sifri, that it's based on a sifri, which is based on a pasuk, in Devarim, Parak Tesvav, Pasuk Zion, where he says, where the Pasuk says, Ki yevcha evyon, that you're going to have amongst you a poor person, Me'achad achecha b'achad sherecha, from one of your brothers in your gates, Paharzacha, in your land, Asher Hashem l'kacha nosim lach, in the land that Hashem given you. L'tziyame s'slivcha, don't hold back, l'tichva say, don't clench your fist, Me'achicha evyon, from your brother who is poor. So the Sifri says, aha, now we have our order. Achecha, what does achecha mean? Zeachecha me'avicha. That's referring to your brother via your father. Me'achar achecha, or one of your brothers, that's ze'echa achecha me'imecha, your brother through your mother, so your brother on either side. Malami she'achecha me'avicha kodem l'achecha me'imecha. But you also learn that the brother, your half-brother through your father, will come before your half-brother through your mother. Okay. Then it says, Anshe, the people of your city. So, Kodam la'anshe iracheres. So, meaning the people of your city come before the people of another town. Biartzecha, in your land. Yoshvi Eretz Yisrael, Kodam Yoshvi Chutzlaretz. So, that teaches that the people in Eretz Yisrael come before Yoshvi Chutzlaretz. Yoshvi Chutzlaretz. How do we know that we support them? Tavlo Hashem l'shacha nosein lach, l'rabbis kol makom, in order to include all these different places. So that's the order that we have. We have right, people, your family, then comes your city, then comes, then come Eretz Yisrael, and then comes outside of Eretz Yisrael. There's a little bit of a gap there, as we get to, is, okay, what about your country outside of Eretz Yisrael? Right? So which comes first? Where does that slide in? Does that slide in before Eretz Yisrael or after Eretz Yisrael? Right? Do I have to support a Jew who's poor in Baltimore before someone in Yerushalayim or after someone in Yerushalayim? Right, that's a bit of a shiloh that is out there. So if we then go to the
wouldn't that fall into your city?
Which?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. I don't live in Baltimore.
Yeah, but if you're giving to someone in Baltimore, chances are you live there.
No, not that would mean. Somebody comes here and says, I live in Baltimore. I need money. Or
well,
more likely
well, then in that
Brooklyn.
Case, I would think Eretz
Yisrael should come first.
Comes first.
Right. Okay. So that could
be. The question is, what about Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is your city.
Right. But this is a probably talking about your city in Israel.
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that. It's talking about when you live in the land. Anyway, it's a question.
Okay, so we'll see what it says here. So that's a bit of a focus out there. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says, it spells this out. Hanosim levanov uvnosav hagedolim she'enu chayev b'mizonosim. That one who gives to your older sons and daughters that you are no longer obligated to support. So that is same. K'dei lumod es habanim tonor titim torah lahanik habanos b'derech yisharon, in order to get the girls on the right path. V'chein, similarly, hanosim matanos la'aviv. Similarly, if you give gifts to the parents, v'heim tzrichalim, which they need, all of that hareza b'chlal tzedakah. Now, in Hilchos Kivud Ava'im, we actually learned about the supporting one's parents. Should you include that towards your tzedakah? Right, is that good or not? And the Ramah actually has this language of like, come on, man. Right, that shouldn't count. That shouldn't really be tzedakah. You should include that on the ledger of Kivud Ava'im. Now, it's not so simple because the Kivud Ava'im is known for something that you don't have to. You're not supposed to have to spend money on Kivud Ava'im. Now, Kivud Ava'im should be on the parents' dime, not on the child's dime. But yet the Ramah says that if you're going to say, well, my parents need financial help and I'm going to count it as my tzedakah money, so the Ramah uses a language of, it's inappropriate. Like it's not a good idea, even though technically it would be tzedakah money if you want to count
Christian,
it as such. Yes.
If giving to your parents is not considered tzedakah, How is giving to your adult children considered?
No, because it could be considered tzedakah. What the Ramah said is to do that, to count it on your tzedakah ledger is inappropriate. I mean, you should
to
put
your
that.
Kids.
No, your parents.
No, but then how is giving tzedakah to your adult children considered tzedakah?
No, that is. That's considered if they need it. That's considered tzedakah. I mean, there's a specific mitzvah of Kivud Ava'im, right?
But it doesn't include money.
So technically, that mitzvah doesn't include money.
Right.
Right. But so if I'm going to give them money, so should I count that as Kivud Ava'im, which I'm not obligated to do, right? Or should I count it as my tzedakah list? I mean, they're top on my list for tzedakah. I should give them tzedakah. So it's saying like that's not a good look to do that.
And how come counting stuff that's your adult children is considered a good law?
That's okay. There's no mitzvah of kivud your children.
But one has filial devotion there.
No, but that's part of the mitzvah of tzedakah already. I mean, the whole mitzvah of tzedakah is premised on the fact that we have familial devotion.
Filial,
okay, is based on that concept, right? That all Jews are related and connected, and we're all one big. Generally, somewhat happy family.
So is it that even though money is not part of kibud ava'im, it's sort of similar to that, and therefore.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what the lumdus is behind that. Like, what exactly is the analysis of why that is? But that's like it says to and realize that back in the good old days this was like a major thing, right? Parents got older and they would live in the same house and like that was right. So
sometimes in the good today days. Also.
What?
Sometimes in the good today days.
Right. Right. I'm saying this was like a common. This is like the regular thing. So person just like today that everyone's asking the Shiloh, well, can I count my kids? Tuition as tzedakah money, right? It was a question that everybody asked about their parents back in the day. Yeah.
Rav Moshe says you can't go by 6 years old anymore. So what cutoff does he give?
He says whatever is societally acceptable.
18.
Under Obamacare, 26.
Kids come back all the time.
Right, but there's also it's not when your kid comes back. It's at some point the kid is then.
What's the society?
Right. So it might also be what social services says. That might also like play a role.
I mean, you know,
like, you know,
if you have kids in Israel, you're probably sending them money, and so
Oh, okay. All right, so all that qualifies then it's not. It says, V'lo od el shetzarech la'achdim la'achirim. V'afilu eino b'no, v'lo avi, even if they're not your son or your father, el krov, they're your relative. Tzarech la'achdim l'chol avdim. They should all get first. How far does that go, by the way? When siblings, so there's no real shear. And the Pesachim Mitzvah is kind of like shrugs his shoulder and says, I don't know, you know, whoever claims themselves as a mishpacha. It says the one shear you can maybe use is if you're pasul edus together on a get, on a ksuva, right, which is fourth cousins. I think it's fourth cousins with two marriages. I think that's the ksuva rule. Hmm? What? If two people are relatives to each other, right, they can't be witnesses together.
Right.
So how closely related do they have to be to one another? So it's four generations. I think four generations with two marriages. So like me and Chava's sister's husband, I would be two marriages, but we're not, like, we wouldn't be allowed to sign something together.
Both four generations and two marriages?
That's the limit. That's the limit. If you're gonna cheshbon it out, so that's as far as it would go.
Well, wait,
you don't need to have two. I mean, if they're fourth cousins, that's also a problem. But fourth cousins with two marriages is as far as the extent of how far we would go. That's a chumrah. The Rama says that's a chumrah. Anu machmirim for that amount.
So it's not
fourth cousins, right?
It's not four generations.
No, it is. I think it's four generations. I think I should have said fourth cousins.
Well,
it's four generations.
In that case, one eight is going to be 95.
No. But in terms of the family tree, meaning me and
that's not generation.
Right, I understand. But me and my I think it's really second cousin. Me and my second cousins with two.
Okay.
I think that's what it ends up being. I was at a wedding. I have a friend, Phil Gross. I think he came to Shabbos here a few years ago. So we at our friend's wedding, he wanted us to both sign the ksuva, and we happened to be fifth cousins twice removed by our mothers. We happened to be through on that. We know because we're both descendants from the Noda Yehuda. So we figured that out. So like as a joke, he said, "Oh, you know, we're cousins." And like the Masechta was like, "Excuse me, like what? So, oh, we're not really cousins. We're fifth cousins. You find someone else. Find someone else." So
Ari Silver and Donnie's wife were cousins. You know Ari Silver.
Yes.
And Donnie's wife
from Silver Spring. Yes, they also sit about three rows apart in shul.
So I have not figured that out.
In case it comes up, yeah.
They may be fourth cousins.
Yeah, so that maybe that's a shear. That's how far you would go as mishpacha. But mishpacha means mishpacha. I don't know. You know, if you feel comfortable inviting them to dinner, I don't know, whatever. However you want to work that out. So that order. And from the father's side comes before the mother's side. And then the people of your house come before the people of your city, and the people of your city come before the people of another city. Then the Ramah adds in, "V'hakovim bi'ir kruyim ba'niyei ha'ir, v'hem kodim la'niyim acherim habayim l'shemim komas acherim." He says, and by the way, people that live in the city come before people that just showed up. Right, that the Ramah is adding in. Okay, and this is v'yoshvi Eretz Yisrael kodim l'yoshvi chutzlar. So then people in Eretz Yisrael come before people in Chutzlar. So that's a bit of the question. That's the question that I raised before, right? Because in the Mechaber's order, he says, the people of your city come before another city, and the people of Eretz Yisrael come before people outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that's where you have a little bit of an overlap, right? Another city you would imagine being the next city over. But then you throw this Eretz Yisrael thing into the mix, right? So that upsets it a little bit, right? So is the people of Eretz Yisrael even come before people of another city of Brooklyn and of Baltimore? So in the Shachir, he says, in Shachlan Ravav, he says, Mashma afilu ir acheres shel Eretz Yisrael, even of another city in Eretz Yisrael. That he's kind of shooting that down and saying right away, the people of your city come before the city, the people of another city, and they come before a city in Eretz Yisrael. Not everybody agrees to that. V'chein chasav habach, I think the Pesach Mishuv says most people assume that way. In the Peyas HaShilchan, which I think was written by one of the Tamidei Hagra who made it to Eretz Yisrael, I think.
One of the
Shklov people. So he writes that it does not, that Ani Eretz Yisrael comes first. And I think Rav Kook also writes that the people of Ani Eretz Yisrael come first. And Pesachim Tshuvos actually comes with an interesting conclusion on it, where he says, so because the Machlokas is either way, do what you want. right? Which might also mean sort of it might like kind of depending on your outlook of Eretz Yisrael and things like that, that might influence which one you would put higher up in the hierarchy. Let's finish up the Ramah here. It says Parnassas Asma Kudemus Chol Adam Veinu Chayv Latei Saka Achiya Lo Parnassas. So, and your Parnassa comes first. Va'achar Kach Yachti Parnassas Avim. Then comes the Parnassa of your father and your mother. If they're poor, Ve'him Kodem Le Parnassas Banav, and they come before your sons. And then your Va'achar Kach Banav. Ve'him Kodem Le Achiv. Ve'him Kodem Le Shar Krovim. Akrovim Kodem Le Shcheinav. V'Shcheinav Le Anshe Iros. So the Ramah adds in this extra group called Shcheinav. Who are your Shcheinav? Your neighbors. So the people, your neighbors, come before the rest of the people in your city, which is an interesting. If you're redesigning the Chazi Eliyahu publicity piece, maybe we should put that the kodem of shchein of kodem le anshe ir or something. I don't know. So v'anshe ir liyar acheres, and the people of yours come from another city. V'hu adinim in kol yishvuv v'tzarach liftos. And the same thing would be with shvuyim. Any of these needs, so the people closer to you are going to come first. So there is a line here, so just two notes on this. Number one is in the Pesachim Utshuvos, he brings up the idea of what about if your community is divided up into many kihilos. So how does that then play a role? Do you say, well, I'm not sure Philadelphia is actually the best example of this, was the kihilos are pretty well integrated, but if you go to Brooklyn, right? So in Brooklyn, the different Hasidic sects are, like if you're a Sapper Hasid living in Borough Park, you might be much more connected with the Sapper Hasidim in Williamsburg than you are with any of the other Hasidim that happen to be in Borough Park. So how does that play a role? So the way he comes down is, says, Minagamakum, right? So these different places are going to have different feels, and it's different, you kind of get a feel for how it works out and who's going to be responsible for others. So Rav Schechter, in his discussions in Hilchos Sukkah, talks about this with regards to that in a way, your community comes before your city. So he says, like, for instance, I live in Washington Heights, so I support institutions in Washington Heights, and my kids went to Breuer's Yeshiva, so I support the Breuer's Yeshiva, but I'm much more connected with, but like in terms of other institutions in Manhattan, says I come to Teaneck, I think the shir might have been in Teaneck, he says I come to Teaneck a lot more often than I go to other places in Manhattan. So even though it's technically not my city, right, if I'm more connected to these institutions, so then I would be supporting these institutions. He defines he's probably within the kihilos category, is saying what it means by your city is the people you deal with, right, and your yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael might come before the yeshiva down the block, because you're more connected with the yeshiva you learned with in Eretz Yisrael than you would be with the yeshiva that's right down the blocks. That's his perspective. Maybe we'll speak more about that next week. But Rav Schechter and his comments about this. And just one more note here. The Avos Chesed raises an interesting question of what if you are anticipating your brother coming for money? Right? Let's say you have your brother, and you know his business is doing well, and you know in the next week or two he's going to have to come and request money from you. And then you have somebody else who comes to you requesting money. So who gets kadimus in that case? Right, is your brother considered an ani before he comes asking for money? So he raises that really as a question. He doesn't actually, he doesn't really come to a conclusion on that question. I mean, is this only when you have two people in front of you and they're both requesting at the same time? Or even if you're anticipating a need on one of those sides, does that person claim a tzad of the cheshbon? If that person has kadimus, does he automatically come first? Or you know that the appeal from your yeshiva is coming in a couple of days, right? So and then someone shows up at your doors. Do you say, well, yeah, but I know that I'm going to be asked in a couple of days for this group, or no, whoever's at your door first, so they're at your door first, and you can't just assume that you're going to be asked later on. So the Avos Chesed raised that as a question. One can argue that maybe in today's fundraising environment, things might have changed a little bit just because our anticipations are a little bit different. I mean, just because the mail hasn't shown up, it doesn't mean that I don't know the person's going to be asking for money, right? As opposed to his case of, you know, your brother is... Yeah, your brother's not doing well, and like you kind of know he'll show up, but it's not the same as like every year, every Hanukkah, I get candles from the Tel Yeshiva. Right? It's a little bit of a different equation. All right, we'll stop here and pick up with more Mirsa Hashem, I guess, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Next week is Rosh Hashanah.